I believe it's been 3 weeks. It is hour number two of our radio program. But making his triumphant return to the studio is Ryan Hot Take Hickey, who I guess got the flu. And then also I was on vacation. So
what do you mean you guess?
Well, it's good that I took vacation. I may have just said, ugh, I don't want to talk to Hickey because he's still sick and contagious, and I just wanted to bypass and said I'll just take the week off instead of talking to you.
You're like one of the only people who hasn't gotten sick here so far, so I'm jealous. Good for you.
I hate you now because now I'm going to get sick.
Oh,
I did take one sick day.
That does push the mush limits, that's for sure.
I did take a sick day. I think it was in December or November. There was like a bug going through the station where people just had like a stomach virus. And I woke up and I did not feel well. My stomach was killing me. And I also like lost my voice for about an hour and a half. And then it came back. So I just called out sick that day. That's take a lot for me to call out sick. You know,
if you can't talk,
little flu. I think I'd be coming in if I'm being honest.
Well, 101 sweats, chills, could
was
barely
really?
Walk. Oh, this is, what do you think? I just woke up with a 99 fever. Said, oh, I'm too sick. I can't come in.
I don't know.
I'm out here every day unless I physically cannot.
Maybe there's some tension on the evening show and you just you wanted to say, JR, I'm not showing up because you're mad at him. I don't know.
I missed my show too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I was out like sleeping before my show even started on Sunday night. Okay. It was a rough day. Rough few days.
Maybe you were sending a little message to management. You know, there's an open around here. Look what happens when I'm not in. I don't know who filled in for you.
I think things went smoothly.
You know, maybe it didn't go smoothly, and maybe people say, oh, you know, I'm missing the Hickster.
That's, you know what? That is how you show value. When I'm not here, what happens?
What was worse? When you got food poisoning?
Yes.
That was worse than
that
the
flu?
That
was worse. When you're talking about, yes. There's nothing. That is the worst, period. Period.
That was the most mad I ever was at you, by the way. I got a call from Hickey. Hey, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make the Super Bowl because I have food poisoning. And it wasn't that I was necessarily mad at you. It's just like, I'm like, of course.
The timing was bad.
The timing was bad.
That was a 12-hour span where I truly thought like the end was near.
And at that point, we weren't that far removed from the COVID. So it was like a heightened awareness about being around people that were sick. So I'm like, ugh, if Hickey's coming out here because he still wanted to come on out to the Super Bowl and I go close to him and then I get sick, I was just in for a 24-hour blender, but then you found a way to just muscle through, fight through, not eat any more sushi. And
sushi? It was steak.
Oh,
I'm not
steak?
A seafood guy.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was sushi. My bad. And, and you had a terrible steak. You look to me like a well-done guy with the steak. I'm surprised your steak was undercooked.
Medium, not well done.
Medium rare.
I'm a medium.
Come on, what are you doing?
I don't need blood.
Want a line? Make sure we had that as a drop, by the way, Bodger. All righty, DK Metcalf, he has requested a trade.
Yes.
I think always whenever someone requests a trade, it comes with like a negative connotation. You know, there's also like a stigma. It's like, oh, especially that wide receiver, diva. I have no problem with DK Metcalf requesting a trade. Clearly, there's a disconnect on the contract with the Seattle Seahawks. I don't even know what they would get back. We had James Palmer on last week, and he said he doesn't even think that DK Metcalf would get a first-round pick in return from things that he's hearing. Hmm. But teams have been thrown out there, the Patriots, the Bills, the Packers, the Steelers, the Chargers. I think there's a team that has to go get him. Who is your team that you think has to go get DK Metcalf?
I think it's the Packers.
Agreed.
They have a million receivers. No one has really separated themselves as a true number one guy. I think Jordan Love's good, but I think part of the reason why he struggled and was up and down last year was the fact that there's really no one reliable receiver every single week. That's a guy where I think he helps propel that team a lot further if he goes there. The Packers also, right, usually pretty conservative, so they're in a good cap spot. They can afford to spend the money. I think that's a position where they should go all in.
And you look at this, because when we worked together, right, A.J. Brown got traded. He was viewed as a good wide receiver, then got viewed as a great wide receiver, and you also saw Jalen Hurts' career take off.
Right.
Stephon Diggs, I know he's a little bit more accomplished, but I don't think he was viewed as a top five receiver in the league at the time. He was viewed as a very good wide receiver, goes to Buffalo, gets viewed as an elite wide receiver, and Josh Allen's career takes off. It's a good foundation, a good year and a half here for Jordan Love, where I think DK Metcalf could use Jordan Love and Jordan Love could use DK Metcalf because, you know, Geno Smith's not a bad quarterback, but I think there is a hot take of the day, a much higher ceiling for Jordan Love So DK could benefit from this, and Jordan Love could benefit from it. I think it makes a ton of sense.
I'm with you. I love the example as you used. Like I said, it's a mutually beneficial relationship where I think there's no excuse to the Packers not to do it. He fits a need. He's right there in terms of the age range at 27. He's productive. He's had 900 yards every year of his career.
Yeah.
He's a plug-and-play guy, like you said, that makes the offense better, the quarterback better. It's you need that position. It's easy.
Max Crosby, contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because he loves the Raiders. I get that.
Right.
The story of Max Crosby, everything that he's overcome, the way he's battled through addiction. I know he's been paid before, but now the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the league. It's a very feel-good story. There's a but coming here.
Oh, I'm waiting for it. Let's hear it.
But I almost just want to say to Max Crosby, and maybe it's personal and I understand that. Like, don't you want to win? Don't you want to go somewhere? You are not only one of the best defensive players in the league, one of the best players in the league. And I know that the Raiders, there's some optimism because they have Pete Carroll, they got Tommy Brady. But outside of you, what else do you got? You got
Brock Bowers.
You got Christian Wilkins, if he could stay healthy. Spillane's a good running back. I think he's back with them. A linebacker, I think he's back with them next year. But we don't know who could be your quarterback right now. So why do you keep on giving this team the benefit of the doubt when look at the teams that are interested in Myles Garrett? Mm-hmm. Those would be the same teams that'd be interested in you. I'd much rather go, and I know the Chiefs wouldn't be on the table because they probably wouldn't trade in division like how Myles Garrett could be, but the Eagles would be interested. The Lions, where he's from, would be interested. The Bills would be interested. The Commanders would be interested. Wouldn't you much rather go there instead of just staying with the Raiders?
You're probably right. Five of the seven top like Super Bowl contenders would probably be all in on a trade for him. I'm with you. In a world where we see so much player movement, I have a tough time criticizing someone that wants to kind of stay in one spot and try to build. Like, okay. I'll give him credit. Like, at the end of his career, is he going to win a ring? Probably not. I'd be shocked if he's sitting there with a ring on his.
With the Raiders?
Could he win one playoff game with the Raiders? I'm not even sure about it at that point.
Can we make Stu happy again? That's the thing. Forget any other political messages. Oh, political message is make Stu happy again. I need Stuart Kovacs to get a playoff win. That would be like a Super Bowl for him.
That would be pretty good for him and pretty good for that franchise.
I think the last playoff win for the Raiders was the one right before the Snow Bowl, right?
I think you're right because they've missed it for a while. They had like Connor Cook start one playoff game when Derek Carr got hurt in 2016.
Or was it the year after because they did make it to the Super Bowl? I forget which one, what happened.
The
first.
Super Bowl was 0-2 against the Buccaneers. So
then it was that run, that AFC Championship game, I think was their last playoff victory.
So we're talking 23 years now?
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But you know what? Max wants to stay there. He'll probably get a statue outside of the stadium.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
If he figures that is equal to a Super Bowl, which honestly, I could view it kind of similar, you do you.
So my reaction to this also, I had a hickey take.
What does that mean?
Well, like you, I think, have this really good ability. This is a compliment.
Okay.
Where when there is something that happens, you make another point about somebody else on a different team and you relate it back to the main point, which is Max Crosby, which is a good thing on a national radio program. I think you learned a few things when you were working for me, but maybe I learned from you as well.
Okay, so let's hear.
TJ Watt should request a trade. Don't do what Max Crosby's doing. You're on a good organization. You could talk yourself into being a championship caliber destination because they have six Super Bowl championships. This is a guy that is either the best or second best defensive player in the NFL. The Steelers haven't won a postseason game since the 2016 season. Go compete for it. Go to a team. All these Myles Garrett destinations would be applicable for him too. Go compete to a team where you could actually not only go win a Super Bowl, but actually go win a playoff game.
I agree. I'll take it a step further. I think forget him requesting it. I think the Steelers should just trade him.
Ooh.
Like they're stuck in the middle. You know, that's a team where, sure, you win 9 or 10 games a year, you make the playoffs. You usually get blown out in the playoffs because the gap between where you are an actual real playoff teams is extremely wide. You can't beat up on the bad teams and the sloppy teams
the
like they mostly do.
Steelers play the Bills next year in the playoffs. I know Hickey's hot take come wild card weekend. Folks, let me tell you, the Bills are going down. The Steelers are going to win,
well,
just
knowing
like the Broncos.
I'll pick like a Bills 49-0 win, and all of a sudden the Steelers would actually win that game and pull it off.
You have a few teams that you just love to pick against. Michigan's one of them. Buffalo's another. I'll tell you two. You know who is another one?
Who's that?
Friend of the show.
Friend
Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. And Coach, if you're listening, I'm a believer. Yesterday, I said it's the jackassery of the NFL draft process with what they're doing to Shedeur Sanders right now. I woke up this morning with the follow on Twitter from Coach Prime.
Wow.
And we had a conversation today as everything goes down in the DMs. And he's been on the show three times, so he's considered a friend to the radio program.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice.
But I just wanted to be clear, anything that you're about to hear, the bull junk that you're about to hear from a Colorado hater and Ryan Hot Take Hickey, Coach, I'm a believer, Coach Prime, I am a believer. I said you should have got the Auburn job when you were at Jackson State, if you recall. But you've had some takes here on Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. I purposely did not listen to your Sunday show.
Okay.
I always like to tune in for a little bit to your Sunday show. And I saw the headline, and I saw a headline of Travis Hunter shouldn't be a top 15 pick in the draft. And I said, that's bull junk. I'm a Coach Prime believer. I'm not listening to Ryan Hot Take Hickey, even though you're my guy. You're not Coach Prime, and I refuse to listen to your show on Sunday night. So what is this bull junk? What is this jackassery? What is this ludicrous take that you have that Travis Hunter shouldn't be a top 15 pick in the draft? Explain yourself.
I will say it was a little clickbaity, the headline.
Oh, there you go.
Travis Hunter should not be a top 15 pick.
You're saying your words are taken out of context.
No. I did it to myself. I did it on purpose. Travis Hunter should not be a top 15 pick.
Oh, you write the headlines to YouTube?
Of course.
Oh, look at that.
I do it on myself.
5-2 player Ryan Hot Take Hickey.
Asterisk underneath. If being primarily used as a wide receiver. Any receiver at this point in this draft is a waste of a top 15 pick because that position is so deep.
A waste?
Every year,
can
the receiver depth.
Can you name 15 players? So your argument is if he's primarily being used as a wide receiver.
Yes, wide receiver
which,
only.
Which, by the way, I wonder how he is going to be used because if I'm Travis Hunter, I would rather be used as a wide receiver because it's a more lucrative position.
Right.
And I've seen teams, they've talked about this in both ways. I think he'll primarily be used as a defensive back, and then there will be packages for him on the offensive side of the ball. I can't see him falling past 4 in the draft, if we're just being clear. That'll go is 4. But if they just say, like, let's say a team drafts is that we only want him to be a wide receiver, we're not going to use him as defensive back, or primarily use him as a wide receiver, then some package for defensive back. You then don't think he should be picked in the top 15 picks of the draft?
I don't, because it's a waste of a pick. You can get a receiver of equal value in the second round, third round. Look at the best receivers in the NFL. Outside of Jamar Chase, every receiver is not the first receiver taken in their draft class. A lot of them were second round picks, third round picks, fourth round picks. In the case of Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's a position where the depth is always the greatest in the draft. There's so many great receivers that are productive that can come in. Look at Puka Nacua coming in right away and contributing. Mm-hmm. If you are going to just play him just a receiver, I don't think to me he's head and shoulders better than any other receiver where it's like him, wide gap, everybody else. If you have a receiver need, but you also have a need at DB, D-end, offensive tackle, whatever it may be, well, if you're going to take him at, let's just say 4 at receiver, and then you come back in the second round and you need a defensive end or a tackle, the depth at that point is less at those positions compared to receiver. So I'd rather take a tackle, defensive end, whatever, than in round 2 come back and say, okay, give me Emeka Buka. Give me Matthew Golden. Like, I just think the value is better. I'm with you. I think he should play DB. And if he's going to be, he's a top 5 DB like pick, no doubt about it. That's a position where you need to draft at the top half of the first round. All the best DBs in the league.
Sertan, Sauce,
right. First, second, Tingley. Third corners off the board in their draft class, all top 15, 20 picks. I think he's a better DB than receiver in general. I think you get more value from a team perspective playing at DB. I just can't see the justification of a team drafting him 2, 3, 4, 1 and saying he's playing receiver. Also, if he plays primarily receiver, how much DB is he going to play? Like, I think it's so much.
I think it's tougher if you're primarily receiver than to go play defensive back.
I agree.
Think we've seen some instances of it before. But I think it is much easier to be primarily defensive back and then some packages at wide receiver. I do agree.
And I think that's what he'll end up doing.
Yeah.
But I hate draft season because it is smoke screen and I do buy in.
Yeah.
But Andrew Berry and others are talking about how he's a primarily, we see him as a receiver. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Non-believer Ryan Hot Take Hickey in studio with us. Just want to make sure that's clear in case of my BFF Coach Prime is listening. Shedeur Sanders, where are you at with him? Because Jacina Anderson, she didn't say it, but she basically said it in a report. A top 7 team, a quarterback coach team was picking in the top 7, said that Shedeur Sanders came off as brash, as arrogant, wink, wink. To me, that's the Jets quarterback coach. Where do you think Shedeur Sanders goes in the draft? Come on. Top seven? Who says top seven?
That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that. That's why.
And then who, if it is the top seven, who's in the top six? The Raiders aren't going to talk negatively about him. I don't think the Browns would. I don't think the Giants would.
What? Smokescreen season. Maybe the Raiders did to knock him down. Maybe they think the Titans or the Browns or someone is getting concerned, or they're worried about they're getting enamored with Shador. Well, let's make sure we knock him down.
But Josina's report was so specific. It was a quarterback coach that made it known to many people, was pretty much the gist of that report. That's why I don't think it's one of those things. Fair thought from what you have.
But again, if you want him badly, right, isn't this the time to say, like, oh, Shador, let me tell you how he was with us. He was awful.
We talk about that.
It's awful.
The team's really passed on him because some quarterback coach on another team said he's brash and arrogant.
I don't think so. But, I mean, I guess there are enough dumb teams out there.
Yeah, you're a football team.
But he also keeps on, like, if it didn't work, I think eventually guys are like, okay, fine, we're going to stop, you know, the whole spreading of misinformation or whatever. Mm. It keeps on happening every year. I feel like it almost gets worse every year now.
So where do you think should, non-believer Ryan Hot Take Hickey, Coach Prime, if you're listening, I'm a believer. Where do you think Shador Sanders go?
Where do I think he will go? I want to say the Raiders. The only thing I don't
know—that's the farthest I think you could
is
go.
If it's at six or if the Raiders trade up.
Ooh, okay. All right,
I
let's
can see
it
being
then.
Aggressive.
Let's do a little exercise. Number one pick, yes or no? Does Tennessee keep it?
I think so.
All right, who do they draft then?
I think they take Abdul Carter.
Wow, you think they keep the pick and then take Abdul Carter? I think if they're not drafting Cam Ward, then they're trading back to two or three so they could still get either Abdul Carter or Travis
Hunter. I just don't know the appetite for how many teams want to trade up.
I think the Browns and I think the Giants. That's the only thing. Put it this way. I think that's the only appetite Tennessee has.
Which is also fair. I mean, if you're going to drop down, I would not feel great about going to six.
And it's only costing me a swap of ones, a three. It may only be a swap of ones and two threes. But if I'm Joe Shane, I get this deal done now and just do a swap of ones, a three, and a two.
If I'm Joe Shane, too, I mean, drafting quarterback does not guarantee your job, as we saw with the Bears.
No,
they drafted Justin
hope.
Fields, but it's something. Because I really, that's a team where I don't know where they're
going.
You
go to Justin Fields. How about just Caleb Williams first? Eberflus, right? Oh, a little hope. He gets Caleb Williams.
Yeah. That's right. I actually forgot about him. I pushed him so far out of my mind. But I remember we had a conversation about the Bears.
So many positive things about the Bears last year. I think we just both try to just erase that from the memory.
That's right. Yeah. Nobody's safe when you draft a quarterback. Not anymore.
No one's safe. Also, and Hickey guarantees that Caleb Williams would be like the greatest quarterback ever. Sure. But anyway, so you have Abdul Carter going one to Tennessee. Who do the Browns then take it to?
I think they take Cam Ward.
Okay. Giants at three. It's either Travis Hunter or Shador Sanders.
I think they take Travis Hunter.
Wow.
I don't.
Then my Patriots say, Stu, you Raiders, let's bend you over and smack you around and take you for everything. That's what it turns into.
Call Woody Johnson, too, up that offer. Sure, Woody be dumb enough to. Well, actually, I think Woody would probably.
I don't think the Patriots would trade with the Jets. I don't.
Well, if the Jets give you the right offer.
Yeah, four first-round picks. Then we have a trade.
Well, I could see. I mean, look, he's
and Putney just because I feel like
Shador
it. You
Sanders.
Pancake-eating mother bleeper.
Shador Sanders is a star, right? Woody loves stars. I could see him saying, you know what, you want five? I know we can't even give you five, but we're going to give you five. Come on.
I want Shador with the Giants. I do. I think it'd be fun, him and Malik Nabers.
In that market, it'd be very fascinating. I mean, he's built for big markets, which I think would make sense, too. It'd be interesting. I think Brian Daboll's a really good coach, so I do hope the Giants end up drafting a quarterback because I think with Daniel Jones, it's just
okay.
Daniel Jones is probably not a bad coaching problem.
So you then have, at three, the Giants taking Travis Hunter.
I'll say Travis Hunter.
What do the Patriots then do it for?
Number one, I think you try
short
to call
arm
up
guy?
The Raiders. My short arm guy?
Yeah.
Oh,
Will Campbell?
Yeah. I mean, look, if...
He looked pretty good to me when he played.
I would take Will Campbell. I would take Josh Simmons out of Ohio State if you need a tackle. But first thing I would try to do is trade down.
Okay.
Call the Jets. Call the Raiders. Because then you go from four to six, four to seven.
In that case...
You're still
case,
picking pretty high talent-wise.
If I'm keeping the pick in that case...
If you are... You're saying you being
the
Patriots?
Yes. And I think they can get Ronnie Stanley in free agency. I do.
Mm.
I understand the need for the offensive line. I would beef up the defensive line. You got Keon White, who is okay, you know, solid. I think there's upside with him. You got Christian Barrymore, mm-hmm. who I like a lot. I would draft Mason Graham then at that spot.
Stuffer, right in the middle. Run stuffer, can get after the quarterback.
So
he's
the
good.
Patriots keep the pick. Who are you going with at four? They keep the pick.
I think they go offensive line.
Okay.
I like your defensive line idea.
Campbell,
and
Banks,
maybe Mike,
or
right.
the Missouri guy. as well, I think.
Mike Vrabel probably. I mean, I think it'd be hard for him to probably say no to Mason Graham, but I would go offensive tackle, try to protect my quarterback.
Would the Jaguars then go Mason Graham at five?
I think they should.
Okay.
They need a lot of help in a lot of places.
And then the Raiders get Shador in that exercise. That's the thing. If Shador is on the board, I don't see a way that the Raiders pass up.
I agree. I totally agree.
All right. Let's get real quickly before we let you run. I need two quick hot take predictions from you. Aaron Rodgers. Where's he going?
I still say nowhere. I just don't know who signs him. Who wants him? He's a walking headache. Giants. He's 42 years old. For what?
Like, Crosby wants him.
But like, Max Crosby does want him. Good luck to you. But like, for the Giants, if they don't draft a quarterback, right? Aaron Rodgers is going to be a placeholder for a year or two. You can get any one of those other guys that are a lot less of a headache.
Yeah, but
you
can get Russ. Here's what you're missing. You need a placeholder. Joe Shane, though, and Brian Daboll, if they don't get a quarterback in the draft, they need to then go get the best placeholder available, because if they don't win games this year, that's a problem.
Is Aaron Rodgers the best placeholder available? Is he the best quarterback out there?
Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, or either of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold, that's a different conversation. But the Giants also don't have what the Vikings just had this past year. Yes, I think Aaron for the Giants would be the best option if it's not getting a quarterback in the draft. That's why I also think that there's going to be a trade for the number one pick. I know the Aaron thing's complicated because, right, he's not officially available yet from the
Jets. They have not cut him yet. Yes. I don't believe
so. So I think within the next week that deal could get done if it is. If they sign Russell, I still think they're in line to go move up to number one. All righty. The last name I had for you. Oh, who's quarterback in the Raiders next year? You just passed on Shador.
I know.
Oh, wait, no. I think they'll take him
at six.
If it's not,
I think it's Sam Darnold.
Okay.
I think they go after Sam.
And then is Russ in Pittsburgh or is it Justin Fields in Pittsburgh?
Everyone's saying Justin Fields. I mean, I would have probably taken Russ. I mean, either way, I think you're screwed. I probably would have just taken Russ and see if there's any magic left, but it seems like that ship is a long sail to Pittsburgh. That's another guy. I mean,
any juicy free agency takes out of you?
He could.
You got anything juicy?
I feel like the free agency kind of is boring, personally. Like, I take that back. I think free agency is a little overhyped because there's really not that many great players out there. So I don't have any. This year. But even like most years, most guys are tagged. Here's a non free agency, but franchise tag hot take maybe. Bengals should trade T. Higgins. It's in their best interest.
Okay, I disagree, but that's fine. What about Sam Darnold? You're like obsessed with him going back to the Vikings because you hate J.J. McCarthy and anyone.
And gets the best spot for him. Like Sam Darnold, I will say, I'm a Sam Darnold guy. With that said, he needs the right situation. Those situations out there are not right for him. He cannot go into a team and save them. Yeah, but with one piece, he can't do it.
So he's not going to be that long-term option. So if you go back there for a year, you know, what's going to be different from what happened this year?
Well,
probably
going to
be worse in the regular season. And then, you know, come postseason time, you're not going to get the job done.
But who needs a quarterback next year compared to this year could be different.
Yeah.
And,
I don't think much would change from a year for Sam Darnold. I think they're going to J.J. McCarthy. All righty, Hickey, great stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Z-Man.
All righty, we'll take a timeout. We come on back while the Giants are the most intriguing team to me entering free agency. We'll get to that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we will have a Take 5 Wednesday coming up in about 10 minutes or less. And it is in honor of the incompetence of the Dallas Mavericks. You know, I do the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. I got to figure out something for the Dallas Mavericks because they could be my least favorite team in sports right now. So last night I was at the Knicks Warriors game and sitting a row behind the Knicks bench. And someone asked me today, did you do any heckling? And I'm like, no. I acted like a respectable adult. And I sat there, I watched the game, I did a little cheering, and that was it. But then I thought to myself, like, who would I heckle? And quite frankly, it would be no one on the Warriors. I'm going to admit this. I kind of like Draymond Green these days. The last 2-3 years, I thought Draymond was insufferable. You know me, I'm an accountability guy, and he took zero accountability for the Jordan Poole situation. But when Draymond Green at All-Star Weekend just basically took a verbal blowtorch to the entire product, I thought that was effing awesome. And then when the fans were getting on Draymond last night, when they started chanting TNT, TNT, which I thought was created from the Knicks fan, but I thought it was a little too late, especially when you're down by 10 with about a minute and a half left. It looked like he was about to jaw with the fans, and then Jimmy Butler, of all people, walked up to Draymond Green and was like, calm down, calm down. And I saw Draymond Green take a lot of photos with fans before the games last night, and also children too. So I don't know. I left the game last night. I'm like, I don't want to say I'm a Draymond Green guy, but I could tolerate Draymond Green now. But I'll tell you, if the Knicks were playing the Mavs last night, I think I would have got kicked out of the building. Because I would have been heckling Nico Harrison if he was there and just yelling nonstop and going off and just eviscerating Nico Harrison. And then if they tried to kick me out of the building, I think I would have just gone limp, right? And I think they would have, I would have just made the poor security just carry me out, my large frame, out of the building just to try to create a scene at that point. And if there would have been any Mavericks fans there, Samter, I think they would have given me a standing ovation. Because Mavericks fans right now, they hate their own team. They hate their own franchise. There's no hope. Kyrie's now out for the year, unfortunately, with the torn ACL. Anthony Davis is not going to return to play another game. But you traded away your future, your hope, and also someone that was just in the NBA Finals last year. June, for crying out loud. They were in the NBA Finals, and you go from June to the NBA Finals, or you lose the championship, okay, unexpected run, to now we're sitting here in March, and if you try to tell me, Zach, what hope do you have for the Mavericks? I got none. I got none. And I think that fan base would actually be happy if they found out that they're moving to Vegas in a few years from now, even if they lost the team, because that's how ugly that situation is. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, but with everything that's been going on, at least ticket prices there in Dallas are going way down.
Who would want to go see that game?
Have you seen this whole
thing? Yes, and I know that they jacked the season ticket prices up 8%. But if you're going on SeatGeek or StubHub or whatever your site is, who would contemplate A, signing up for season tickets, even on the second market? Let me check this. I'm going to go to SeatGeek right now. And hopefully I don't offend anybody by just SeatGeek's the first site that I thought of here. Mavericks. I'm just curious what a ticket costs right now. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's hysterical.
$12.
Grizzlies at Mavericks. Friday night. What do you think it is?
I mean, the Grizzlies are good. You've got star players there. They're a top five, top six team in the West. Where are we looking? We're looking like low level.
Worst seat in the house. Grizzlies, Mavericks, worst seat in the house at American Airlines Center in Dallas. What do you think it is? With fees.
$24.
$9.
Wow.
$9. Upper deck behind the basket. Whew, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Dexter Henry's here, by the way. And Dexter Henry not only does a great job for us on the national updates, but he's also a star at the New York Post, right? Is that technically what that is? There still a partnership with SNY?
No, the partnership ended.
Right? I know you guys moved studios, but I saw you with Begley the other night, so yeah. I wasn't sure.
Oh, so that's very confused. But we're still friends. Begley's my guy.
No, yeah. Ian Begley's a good guy.
Yeah.
So you cover also the New York sports scene.
Yes.
I think the Giants are the most intriguing team entering free agency. Not that I have any high aspirations for them. And I know Rodgers is not coming back with the Jets, and I don't know officially when he's going to be free to sign somewhere else. But I think from now until the start of free agency next week, the Giants are extremely intriguing because they could get a deal done with Tennessee maybe for the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't get the deal for the number one overall pick, and maybe they want to wait after free agency or as you get closer to the draft, I think who they sign can really dictate if they're going to move up from 3-1. Because if you sign Russell Wilson, right, I think Russ, even though he wouldn't love being the mentor and he still thinks he's a star, I don't think it prevents you from going from 3-1 to draft Cam Ward.
No, I don't think so either.
If you give Sam Darnold a 3 or 4 year deal, I think that takes you out of moving up in the draft spot. But if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, or the Giants say we're going to sign Aaron Rodgers, that's our intention, I don't think then you're moving up from 3-1 to go get a quarterback.
Oh, so you think if... Do you think they would take one in the second round, maybe looking like a Jalen Milroe?
Maybe. That's a crapshoot, though, when you do that. For every Jalen Hurts that goes in the second round that ends up being a stud, I can show you guys that end up stinking.
Yeah, that's fair. If I was the Giants, I would not be in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, personally.
You wouldn't be.
No, I would not be.
Here's the challenging part. Mm-hmm. Last year, Joe Shane said, I have Daniel Jones in my back pocket, but I don't even think he really thought Daniel Jones was going to be his guy. And they won towards the end of the season with the Tommy DeVito magic with the chicken cutlets and all that. And it moved them back in the draft where, okay, they realized they're not going to get Jaden Daniels. That's what they wanted. Caleb Williams going one.
Yep.
And then they thought they could get a deal done with the Patriots for Drake May, but they couldn't. So by then, you already had free agency come and go. You had the draft come and go, and it's like, ugh, we have to begrudgingly run it back with Daniel Jones. This year, I don't think you could wait because Joe Shane, if his ass was on fire last year on the hot seat, it's even worse this year.
Yeah, I mean, him and
Brian. You've already burned some curtain down.
Yeah, I don't want to even say it's a hot seat, right? It's like the flames are all around, right? Like it's so.
It's like the dog emoji. But on social media.
Yeah, right. It's like that
the
emoji.
Meme. Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. So the thing about that, I'm glad you brought that up, Zach, is are you going for the quick fix right now to save your job, right?
Or what would the quick fix then be to save your job? Because I think that could be interpreted in many different ways.
Right. Aaron Rodgers could be that. I wouldn't trust that because I think he's got limited mobility.
If I'm Joe Shane and I'm trying to save my job, I'm going up from 3-1 to get Cam Ward. Because even though it doesn't guarantee you'll be back next year, I think it provides the most hope.
I happen to agree with you 100%. If you put it like this, if you're going to go down swinging, swinging big, go for the guy that can help you down and possibly in the future.
And this is what I would do. I would call up Tennessee today, Borgonzi, and say, hey, I got to know if you're interested in trading this pick right now. I'll give you a swap of ones, a 3, and a 2. Is that enough to get the deal done? And we'll see what they say. If they say no, I have to still keep them in the loop, and maybe I could still trade up if they're listening. At least I know they're interested. Mm-hmm. But then I got to do something Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday next week just in case if I can't find a way to trade up or if at 3, for some reason, Shedeur Sanders still isn't there. You know, because there's a case Shedeur, I think he'll be there, but there's also a case that he's not there.
There's a case that he's not there as well, too. Do you think it's crazy that Tennessee would even trade the pick? I think it's crazy.
So I don't think it's crazy. Here's why. Because I don't take a quarterback in the first round if I don't love him. But in this case, I think it's the exception because it's not your normal return. Like Connor Hughes reported that right now it'd be a swap of 1s and 2 3s. For me, if I just like Cam Ward, I take the gamble there and just take Cam Ward number one overall. Because
but if you get an overwhelming package, then you're going to say, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But like if I'm them, I don't think there's an overwhelming package out there that's going to happen because I think they're either going to take Cam Ward one or they're going to fall back to 2 or 3. So therefore, I don't think it's going to be an overwhelming package. So at that rate, I would just take Cam Ward at the number one overall pick.
I happen to agree with that, but I see your point. And if there was something that blew you away, you would do it.
You know what? I'll save this for your next update.
Yes.
I want to know for your next update, who's going to be starting for your Steelers?
Oh, that's a great
coming
question.
Coming up week one of the 2025 season.
Who knows?
We'll come on back with a little Take 5 Wednesday update time first. Here is Dexter Henry.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The football season might be over.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
But don't you worry. There are still rankings to be made. So get ready as Zach gives you his top five in this week's special edition of Take 5 Wednesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff.
All righty, here's the topic today. Who is a fan of a team that I would not want to be? And this is in honor of the Dallas Mavericks and that putrid, terrible, horrible, and disgraceful organization. So I'm not going to put the Mavericks in the top five because it's in honor of them, and they would clearly be the number one answer. It's the last time they'll ever be number one in something. Well, maybe the number one pick of the draft, but that's not in a good way. They're terrible. Alrighty, so here are the five fan bases I wouldn't want to be a part of right now. In honor of the Mavericks. In at number five, it's the Chicago White Sox. Your little brother in town to the Chicago Cubs. I know you won a World Series back in 2005, but we're a long ways away from that. Last year, you actually got worse than where you were in 2023, when in 2023, you were 61-101. How do you get worse in baseball, and significantly worse in baseball, from 61 to 101, well, then you go 41 and 121. So the Chicago White Sox are in at number five. In at number four, the Sacramento Kings. You had a little bit of a few years. You thought, okay, maybe you're moving in the right direction. You know, when they played the Warriors, that was a fun playoff series, I think, 2 years ago. You had early heartbreak earlier in my life up against the Lakers in that series where they're still complaining about the officials, and I get it. But now, what hope do you have? You just traded De'Aaron Fox because he didn't want to be there anymore. Now he's with the San Antonio Spurs. I have zero hope if I'm a fan of the Sacramento Kings. So White Sox in at five, the Kings in at four. In at number three, it's the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. So when I look at the Jets, I understand Jets fans will tell me, oh, but we got a good young roster. Oh, we got Quinton Williams. Oh, we got Sauce Gardner. Ooh, you know, we got Garrett Wilson. Ooh, we got Breece Hall. But you're the Jets, right? Woody Johnson is a disgraceful, terrible owner. You have no quarterback. You just went all in on Aaron Rodgers. And I know you can't prevent injury, but that blew up in your face. And this year was an unmitigated disaster. And now, right, Jet fans are like, oh, well, they just need a quarterback. All right, where are you going to get that quarterback? You just got rid of Aaron Rodgers. Sam Darnold wouldn't touch your organization with a 10-foot pole. And ironically, that could be the best fit right now. Russell Wilson, that doesn't excite anybody. I take a gamble on Justin Fields. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. But the Jets are sitting there at 7 in the draft right now. Well, Cam Ward's going to be the number one overall pick of the draft one way or another. And I don't think Shedeur Sanders has fallen past 6. So unless if you're trading up, I don't think you're getting a long-term option at the quarterback position this offseason. It's another year where the New York Jets, their fans will find a way to talk themselves into believing in this team. And then come like November, early November, maybe even late October or mid-October, the Jet fan will be disappointed. The Jet fan hasn't won a Lombardi trophy since Super Bowl III. And since then, there has been a lot of embarrassing moments with the Jets, and they have the longest drought in the four sports right now that we do have participated in. The four major sports, the Jets have the longest playoff drought. Alrighty, so White Sox 5, Kings 4, Jets 3, fan bases I would not want to be a part of right now. In at number 2, we go to the ice. And when we go to the ice, it's the Buffalo Sabres. I know they got rid of Jack Eichel in a trade a little while back to the Vegas Golden Knights. But this organization, you play in a great sports town. Like, the Bills haven't won a Super Bowl. Look at the way that we talk about the Buffalo Bills. But the Sabres have just been an absolute disgrace for a long time. And I don't see it getting better anytime soon. Like, they are just a horrible organization. You look at the Sabres. They haven't made the playoffs since 2011. 2011, they haven't made the postseason. And their highest win total since then, oh my goodness gracious, 42 wins was the highest win total that they've had. And currently they're 24-30 with 54 points. Last year, they were 39-37 with 84 points. That organization, great sports town, terrible hockey team though. And in at number one, it's a team that I have a soft spot for. It's a team that, because of their radio hosts and their city, I find myself often hoping that they're going to get it right. And it's the, here we go, Brownies, here we go, hoot, hoot. The Cleveland Browns are a fan base I wouldn't want to be. And here's why. You went all in on Deshaun Watson. Now, you could debate if they should have done that. They went all in for Deshaun Watson because of the fact, not that they thought he was this award-winning human being, it's because he was viewed as a top quarterback in the NFL when he was made available. Teams will push aside horrible things that human beings do if you could throw the football and you could try to go win games. But you traded all that draft capital, and what did you get out of it? Nothing. Deshaun Watson stinks. Deshaun Watson's days as a starting quarterback are donezo. And now Myles Garrett wants out. Nick Chubb is going to sign somewhere else this offseason. So what do you have? And this was a team with Kevin Stefanski. He's had 2 Coach of the Year award wins. And also, you've made the playoffs twice with Kevin Stefanski. But there's no future. There's no hope. So based off the Dallas Mavericks, five fan bases that I would not want to be a part of, the Chicago White Sox in at number 5, the Kings are in at number 4, the Jets are in at number 3, the Sabres are in at number 2, and the Browns are in at number 1. Usually when we do this segment, we do speak now, forever hold your peace when it's in football season, it's top five teams in college football and top five teams in the NFL. We've now done Take Five Wednesday twice in this way post-football season, and I've never said speak now, forever hold your peace. So maybe that's something, Samter, for next week that we end up doing with Take Five Wednesday. We don't need to do it today. But I think that's another layer that we should add, maybe a team or two that you thought I maybe missed, and then we could sit there and I could tell you why you're either right and I missed it, or it's one that I just thought could be in the ballpark but not one of the ones that I'm going with. And I'm sure Samter, if I said, hey, you know, give me something right now, he'd talk about some soccer team that I don't give a rat's ass about, right?
No, I was just thinking about America's team. The Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Brian Schottenheimer and, you know,
I think they could actually make
Parsons
the playoffs
and all
this
the talk.
Year.
What?
I think they could actually make the playoffs this year. And remember, I told you last year they weren't going to make the playoffs. That's kind of the model. Everyone slams one team. There's no hope. There's no future. You know, if Dak's healthy with Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb, and maybe they make a move or two on the offense side of the ball this offseason, you know, can they find a way to string together 9 or 10 wins and make the postseason? I don't think that'd be crazy. But they're in a terrible spot. They're not, like, bad enough to go get a franchise quarterback. You just paid Dak Prescott again to be your franchise quarterback, and he's good, but he's not great. And you know we're close to actually contending for a Super Bowl. You're, like, right in that spot where it's you're not terrible, but you're not great, and you're just kind of stuck. So, yeah, I understand.
And it's not just about the winning or losing with them. It's just about all the circus that's been there, but it's just it's been taken up a notch, yeah. Especially with podcasting and all the other junk that's been going on.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the Micah Parsons podcast. I don't. I heard Jerry was speaking today. Maybe we'll get you that soundbite later. But last year it was all in, and now this year, basically, after they just made a move the other day to bring back one of their own, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to be that aggressive in free agency. When his son the other week was just saying they're going to be selectively aggressive. So, Cowboys are midseason form. They're not on the same page to start free agency next week. All righty, we'll take a break. When we come on back, there's one quarterback that I already know will be under the most scrutiny this year. I'll tell you who that quarterback is when we come on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.